Today we're going to talk about restarting our rhythms and routines. I mean, COVID-19, lockdown, all of that. But one of the biggest things that's got hit has been our routines. For me, just out the window. The things I used to do every day, out the window. The rhythms of my life, out the window. Because everything shut down and everything stopped. And maybe you created some new ones, but maybe as you come out of lockdown, you've got to try and recreate and rebuild. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So I want to pray and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and move in our hearts and lives. Lord, I just thank you for everybody that's tuned in. I pray, Lord, that we are going to receive from you. Lord, I pray wherever we find ourselves at right now, wherever we are, Lord, just touch our hearts, touch our lives. Let us never be the same again. And I pray, Holy Spirit, just touch us in ways that we need. Help us, encourage us, and build us up in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So routines, rhythms. I mean, it's one of those things where sometimes we hate routine. It's like, I got to do this thing every single day. But there's something amazing about it, especially when you can keep the right heart, the right spirit, and the right motivation. Routines are our friends because they give us like these anchor points in life, right? I do this every day, and that's good. I don't really need to think about it. I just do it. And now I can concentrate on other things, and I'm not exhausted by it because I just know what to do. And the incredible thing about maybe day-to-day and every day before COVID is that when you were going to work or you were commuting to work, whether it be in the train or the car or whatever way you do it, maybe walking, maybe that was your quality time with God. Those 30 minutes, that hour, you would listen to a podcast, listen to some music, maybe do all both of those things and pray and read a bit as you go as well. But then COVID comes and suddenly lockdown comes, and before you know it, every routine, every rhythm had to change. They probably went out the window. And so what do you do now? What do you do? What did it look like for you in the midst of a lockdown? Possibly it was all good. Maybe you transitioned and then you spent more time with God because it was really good. But I have a feeling that some of us didn't do that. You're looking at it, you know? It's like days you did well and then other days you didn't. It was like you lost your rhythm, you lost your routine, and it became more of a kind of haphazard thing. Whereas work keeps you in routine. Weekends keep you in routine. But then when you get in lockdown, I remember people saying it, like, what day is it really? The only day that kept us in focus was the live stream on Sunday. You knew, well, Sunday's coming, you know. And for me, I was always thinking about that. But what do you do? What do you do in the midst of that? And so I think about rhythms today, because I love rhythms, because it feels like it's just constantly flowing, isn't it? It feels like it's continuous. I mean, I love significant moments, and you can have moments with God. But today I want us to think about having God routines and God rhythms in our lives. And maybe it transitions and changed for you in lockdown. Maybe it was good. Maybe it was bad. You've come out of lockdown. And so what's it going to look like now as you go forward? Can I encourage you that there's a great opportunity to rebuild, reestablish, just bring in new rhythms, bring in new routines that will bring us to the next level in terms of our walk with God, where we just get to know him more, where we spend more time in his presence. Because when routine comes in, it robs us of all of our anchor points and we find ourselves in a bit of a mess. Here's where I get to when I don't have routine. I get into ruts. Anybody else? I get into ruts. And before I know it, the things that used to keep me on the straight and narrow, so to speak, are the things that would help me to go forward every day and get some stuff done, they get removed, and then I'm like, I'm a bit at sea. And here's what I found from a personal point is like the days started to get longer and the morning started to get later. Anybody find that? It was like, because like at the end of the day, the next day, you hadn't much, like you hadn't those specific things to do. Maybe you didn't have the kids to go to school. Maybe you didn't have a train to catch. Maybe you're working from home so you can start later. And so you start to stay up later and you get, you go to bed later and you get up later. And before you know it, you've got no time for God. You got no time for those routines. You got no time for those rhythms, and everything gets impacted. Here's what I find is like whenever you can stay up longer, then you say to yourself, well, you know, I wonder what's on Netflix. And that one episode turns into half the night and you're like, I've got to see what happens next. Now, there was one occasion, without telling you all the details, there was one occasion when Nikki and I went and started lockdown. Of course, we've radically changed since this, since that. Of course we have. Where we got into the series and we're like, we've got to see it. And then we're about to go to bed. And Nikki was like, come on, just watch the next one. It's the final one. We've got to watch it. Well, thank goodness we never did that again. We got into the wee small hours. Not the really, really wee small hours, but small enough. And guess what it did? It affected the next day, because then it's harder to get up. You had to skip your prayer time. You had to skip your worship time because you're just too tired and you had to be able to function. And this is what I find. Whenever routine gets pulled away, we step into ruts. It's hard to be consistent. It's hard to be committed. And all the things that we used to do get affected. What about you? What about those things? Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with Netflix or Prime or any of those other things, YouTube, but when it starts to dictate our lives and affect our lives and we can't get into those rhythms with God like we used to, then we've got a problem, because we need to be in rhythms with God. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Suddenly, one small thing turns into a bigger thing, and before you know it, it affects every part of our day, and it especially affects our quiet times with God. So I think today, it's time to build and rebuild. It's time to establish and reestablish. It's time to get some of those rhythms back, because fundamentally, as Christians, or even as people in general, we need, even if you don't know it, even if you don't believe it, we need God in our lives. It's that simple. And is God in your life? In the sense of, does he lead your life? Is he an important part of your life? Is he the one who you follow after? Or is it you just kind of do your thing and you hope that he's there, and then you pray when you're really, really stuck and say, God, help me. And I want to transition and change that. I want us to build rhythms like we've never had before, which says I walk with him and I follow his lead and he leads me. And it's not this kind of, you know, moment with him sometimes and then no moments for ages. It's more continuous. It's a rhythm. It's a rhythm that is continuous. Rhythms lead us into more of God. This is what I find. We need the rhythms of God's presence in our day, every day. We just need it. We need it in our lives every single day. And so I want us to read from Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus 33 today. Now, I want us to look at the story of Moses. Now, Moses is an amazing character in the Bible. We're going to have time to do it today, but I encourage you, even if you know him so well, go back and spend some time with God and with Moses and read about his story. Moses is one of these guys. He started off, and the king or Pharaoh is out to get him and out to kill him. And so his mom puts him in a Moses basket. Yes, that's how the basket got its name. It's still stuck. He goes down the Nile. He gets taken in by Pharaoh's daughter. Long story short, he one day realizes who he is, and then he finds himself saying, right, I've got to defend God's people, because God's people were in captivity, making bricks, doing hard labor for the Egyptians. And then he sees someone and he stands up to it. And before you know it, he's killed the guy. Now he's running for his life, and he's running from God, and he's running from every other aspect of his life. And then he finds himself 40 years in the wilderness, but God's still got a plan for his life. And God finds him through a burning bush and then calls him out. And we're going to pick up the story when he's just led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he's just asked Pharaoh to let my people go. They're on the way to the Red Sea. You remember that bit where they part the Red Sea? They're just about to get there, but they're in the interim, and Pharaoh's just about to change his mind, because that's usually what happens. The enemy changes his mind. And so what he was about to do was let the people go. He's just done that, but he wants them back, because he's realized they're too good to let go. They're great slaves. They're great workers. Bring them back into bondage. And Moses is God's man, and God has a plan for his life. Exodus 33:14. I want us to see this today. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Can we just do a side note just for a moment? If we're in God's presence, we get rest. When we're not in his presence, there's literally nothing else that's going to give you proper rest. Not rest like he gives you. Now, there's things you can do that will give you a limited rest or a type of rest, but God's rest is supernatural. It's filled with his presence, his power, his peace, his love. And so we need to be in his presence to get his rest. Verse 15, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, now look at what he's asking, do not send us up from here. Now, look at the tone of what Moses is doing. He said, hey, God, I've got many requests for you, but this is the main one I want to tell you. I want to tell you that we're not leaving this place unless you go with us. Now, this is not like a normal prayer, because most of our prayers are, God, you know, if I'm going there, you got to supply all my needs. You know, God, I've done this for you. You've got to give me all things. It's like, God, help me, help me, help me. It's like, give me all this stuff. But Moses simply says, no, the only thing that I really want is your presence, because without your presence, I lose. So I'm not leaving this place, even if you've told me to go, unless your presence goes with me. Verse 16, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? Look what he says. Unless you go with us, who's going to believe us? He associates this with identity. He associates this with just the personhood of himself. He says, but God, like, it doesn't matter about the stuff. It's all about you. And if we are your people and we don't have you, then people aren't going to trust us. They're not going to believe us. So we need you with us. I think something's starting to shift in my mind. Hopefully something's starting to shift in your mind, going, wow, I can't believe I even attempt to try to do any day without him. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? What else will distinguish us from all the other people on the face of the earth if we don't have you? What a prayer, what a plea, what a heart cry. This is where God needs us to get to. are people that says, I'm not moving unless God moves me. I'm not moving unless God's told me. I'm not moving unless God goes with me. That's got to be the cry of our heart. This is the place where we need to get to. This is the rhythms that we need to build. This is the rhythms that we need to have. Imagine this. I think what Moses is telling us today from thousands of years ago is that you may think that God is optional, but I've lived a life where I realized that he was essential. Like, I wouldn't be alive without his protection in the basket. I wouldn't be alive without his protection in the wilderness. I wouldn't be here without his call in the midst of 40 years of running away from God. Even though I've run away, he's never left me and he calls me back to purpose. I would not be here if he hadn't anointed me and called me and equipped me. I would not have seen the miracles. I would not be the person I am without him. He is eternally grateful because he's been moved and his life has been deeply affected by the presence of God. What about you? What about me? Our lives are so blessed. The biggest concern that we've had in the last 40, 50 years has been lockdown, in the sense of if COVID hasn't affected you and you haven't been worried in that sense, the only other problem you've had is lockdown. You couldn't go where you wanted. And that's been the biggest problem that we've had in years. Think about this. But for Moses, every day was relying on God, every single day. What if our lives have become so blessed that we've lost sight of the blesser? What if our lives have become so blessed that we need to refocus back on him? Because for Moses, he said, God's not optional to me. In fact, God, I'm going to tell you, you're not optional. You are essential. Sometimes for me, he's too optional. I need God to change me. What about you? Here's what I feel. Something is shifting and something has shifted. And we've said to ourselves, we're not going back. COVID has happened. Lockdown has happened. We're trying to come out of it. We're trying to get better. We're trying to regroup. We're trying to say, God, what is it I'm supposed to keep from before? I tell you what it is. It's to go all out for God. It's not to have any other distractions. It's to be sold out to the one. It's to live for him and be radical for him in all your ways and to acknowledge him and to share your faith and declare the good news and live the way God always intended us. People that would follow after him, not do our own thing. These prayer times, I encourage you, get online with us, come in person with us, just to see what God is doing. I tell you what I feel in my spirit is that we're not going back. A line has been crossed. A line has been crossed, and suddenly people have said, this is too important for me to miss. There's just nothing else. There's just, other things are just dwindling out of the way. It's just too important to miss. I think when that starts to happen, God started to do a deep work in your heart, and something's begun to move. So guys, as we go deeper today for a few moments, I want to talk about establishing three new rhythms, or if they're new for you, or maybe it's just reestablishing or establishing, whatever it is for you. But number one, let me give you number one. It's going to be heavy right from the start. Let me just pre-warn you. It's going to be heavy. Number one, we got to reestablish repentance. Wow. We got to reestablish repentance. Now, what is repentance? It's a change of the mind. It's nothing to do with the heart. It's a change of the mind. Basically, what's happening in us before we get saved is that the Holy Spirit comes to convict us. He lifts the scale from our eyes, and suddenly we see our sin for what it is, and we realize, oh my gosh, I am not worthy of God. And without his love and acceptance and transformation, I'm never going to make it to heaven because I am a sinner, and I will never make it because only perfect people get into heaven. And then suddenly in that moment, my mind gets awoken. I start to repent through the help of the Holy Spirit, and then my life is forever changed because the Holy Spirit comes and he cleanses me and he heals me and he restores me and he brings me to life, and I go from death to life in a moment. And it all starts when I'm able to see, and then I'm able to repent. Repentance is crucial for salvation. That's the key, and we all know that. But can I tell you, as a Christian, every day repentance is still crucial? Now, here's the difference. Before we get into a weird space, we're like, what on earth are we confessing every day? And what does that mean? No, you confess and repent once to God. And when you do that, your life is forever changed. Now, think what I just mentioned. You went from death to life. So it's a positional change. You were repositioned in the spiritual realm because the spirit is what lasts forever. When we're born in sin. So we're in that position of sinfulness. There's no way out of it, and we deserve God's wrath. But then when our spirit gets awoken and our minds are able to see and we repent, what happens in that moment, that repentance allows us to be moved, and we move from sin to wholeness, and we go from a lost eternity to an eternity with him, and our lives are forever changed. So what's happening every day when we confess our sins? We're recognizing that we still make mistakes. We're recognizing that there's more in God. We're recognizing, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. I mean, I know I'm not a dead man any longer, but sometimes I think like him, sometimes I act like him, sometimes I even say things like him, but that's not who I am. So Lord, help me. And so we confess our sins and we repent, and God is so faithful. Can you see what repentance does? It always gives us access. It always gives us access. And let me give you two important aspects of repentance and why it's so important for Christians to have it, like me and like you. Because number one, it shows the heart of the person. When I'm repentant, it keeps my heart in check, because guess what? It does two or three different things. It says, okay, I understand where I'm at. I understand that I'm saved, but I make mistakes, and I want to keep my heart soft, and I want to guard my heart, so I give it to Him. It shows a faithfulness to, like, I want to go deeper into the things of God. It just all revolves around our heart. It just reveals our heart, the quality of our heart, the health of our heart, and it keeps our hearts healthy when we repent. But secondly, it brings us into access. The first time that we repented, we had access through the door. Think of it just like that. It's like without repentance, we can't get through the doors. The first and most important door was salvation. We could not get through that door to God's presence because our sin was blocking it. The moment we repented, it was like a key, and suddenly that door swung open and we walked into His glorious presence. And we were perfect because His precious blood, Jesus' perfect blood, precious blood, washed us white as snow, without blemish, without wrinkle. What a day that was. But then as we walk into this incredible world with God and into abundant life, there are things that we look at, there are things that we say, there are things that we should do and things that we shouldn't do. And we make mistakes all of the time. And so what do we do at those moments? If we're not careful, the enemy tells us to hold them. Get secretive about it. Get private about it. Don't tell anybody about it, because it brings you to guilt and to shame. And like, I shouldn't have done that. And all he wants to do is disable us as Christians. But the moment that we repent, it like opens that door afresh. And we walk again into a clearer space. And we say, God, I know I shouldn't have done it, but God, You're good. And I know You're forgiving me. Thank You, Jesus. And we walk free again. See, repentance allows us to access and keep in that perfect freedom that God's given us. We can't lose our salvation, but it can affect our relationship. Amen. I mean, you can't lose your position, but it can affect your relationship. Because I've seen it. I've seen people that are saved and flying with God, and they're walking with God, and everything's going really well. And then a few mistakes happen, and they don't go for quick repentance. They don't ask God for quick forgiveness. They start to worry about their own kind of guilt and shame, and it starts to overwhelm them. And before you know it, it pushes them out of the inner courts of His presence, and they start to live in the outer courts. Like, I'm a Christian, but I don't really know Him. And God says, come deeper into My presence. There were courts in the Old Testament. There was the outer courts, there was the inner courts, and then there was the Holy of Holies. And here's what He says, Hebrews 12, come boldly into My presence. Come boldly into the throne of grace because of what I've done in your life. When we repent every day and confess every day, it keeps us healthy in the Lord. It keeps us coming forward in God. It keeps us moving forward. It keeps us mindful of the things that would hold us back, and it allows me to keep going forward in God. God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. God, keep me free from that loss. Keep me free from those sins. God, keep me free from that waste of time over there, or when I didn't do this, or I didn't help that person, or I didn't share my faith. It keeps me moving on the right track. Guys, let me encourage you. We need to bring this rhythm back into our lives. We need to bring it back. Whenever we confess our sins, whenever we are repentant, it's a clear sign of health, growth, and more. Let me read 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and forgives us our sins and purifies us from the unrighteous. When we read the scripture, we've got to realize this is not just about the unsaved getting saved. This is about believers today. But if we claim we're not sinners, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. God knows we're going to sin. God knows we're going to make mistakes, but He's already made provision, and it's already been taken care of on the cross. But I want to keep moving forward in God. I want to be guilt-free. I want to be free in Him. I want to keep moving into more freedom and more freedom and more freedom. So repentance is about me, and it's about me keeping my heart healthy and strong so I can receive all of His goodness, and the enemy gets no foothold in my life. When I don't repent, guess what happens? The enemy keeps me out of certain things. He blocks me out. I'm not a dead man, but I start to live like it. He blocks me out. He keeps my access limited. I don't get into the Holy of Holies because I feel I'm not good enough, even though I'm a Christian. What about you today? How do you feel about yourself? Maybe you need to repent, because repentance is a great place to come through. Every time you face, let me encourage you with this, every time you face the power of the enemy, do you know how you're going to overcome him? Repentance. Because the strongest thing that he had over you was your sin. And the moment you repented was the moment you were set free. If he couldn't hold you with eternal eternal salvation and he couldn't hold you from that and repentance allowed you to step into that, then he can't hold you in any other shape or form. So when you need to beat the enemy, when you need to take some ground against the enemy, when you need to stand forward in faith against the enemy, repent and watch how he has to move, because repentance always defeats him. It brings us into greater access. God's calling us to come deeper into his presence, but he's also calling us to be real amongst our friends and family. I want to get real just for a moment. James 5:16 says this, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other for this reason, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Now think about this. When was the last time that you confessed some sins to a brother or sister in Christ? I don't think it's top priority. Come on, let's be real for a moment. And yet, look at the benefit if we do it, so that you will be healed. Now, this is not about forgiveness. This is about healing. This is about healing. This is why we're confessing our sin. Now, this is not about you've done wrong against another brother or sister. That's not about this. This is your personal sin. This is sin in your life, and it's going on, and maybe you're making mistakes, and maybe it's become a habit. Maybe it's become a rhythm. Maybe it's become a negative, deadly rhythm, and it's only going to lead us to one place, death and destruction, in terms of just how we feel and how we go. So we got to get rid of this, and the Bible has a plan for it, and God has a plan for it. And here's what I have found, is that we limit ourselves and we say, well, I'm just sorting this out with God. Now, why do we do that? The only reason that we could ever do that is because of guilt and shame and the fear of being unaccepted. I'm worried about telling that person because I'm worried that they won't see me the way they've always seen me. Can I tell you that you're fully accepted in God? And if that person doesn't see you the way God sees you, that's their tough luck. It's their tough luck. Now, I want you to be wise and with common sense. So you got to make sure through wisdom and godly wisdom, you build up strong relationships. Because part of the reason why you're not confessing is because you don't have strong relationships in your life that are godly. And so you've got to do that. But the only way to test those relationships is to become vulnerable. Guess what? Did you know that? It's like, unless you become vulnerable, that other person is never going to become vulnerable with you. So you've got to take a risk in faith. But I assure you, as you step out with boldness, you're going to find that as you confess, they'll confess, and together you're going to get stronger, because it's a promise from God. Whenever we do this, we get healed. Let me give you a stop point. Stop trying to do it all on your own. It's never going to work, because guilt and the thing of, is someone going to accept me, is going to literally kill us in the faith. It's going to stop us in our tracks and walking forward in God. Second thing today I want to talk about is reestablishing God leading us. Now, this is simple and straightforward, and we all know the answer. Of course, God leads me, but does he really? Because this is much more kind of important, or much more difficult, or much more real than sometimes we first consider. Because we say to ourselves, like, yeah, of course, I follow God every day. But do we really? I think most of the day we do our own thing. Here's what it takes to follow after God. We need a lot of faith. We're going to have to trust God. Just take our small bit of faith, but we have to place it inside of him. We've got to let go of our pride, because pride always says, well, I'll just do it myself. The second thing is, or third thing is, we've got to lose control. And nobody wants to lose control, because everybody wants to be in control because they don't like what could happen next. Even with God, I don't want to lose control because he might make me share my testimony, or might make me share my faith with someone, or this might happen, or that might happen. Yeah, it might. But watch how God will establish you and help you and show you that he is there for you. Whenever we do it all ourselves, we got to do it all ourselves. We got to fight every battle. And let me tell you, I know that you're fighting plenty of battles, because I know that I'm fighting plenty of battles. And I hardly have the energy sometimes. And I'm exhausted. And I'm worn out. I'm wondering, can I ever do this? And God wants to tell you today that I am there to fight for you, but you got to let me. Let me be real with this point. You've got to have time. If you're going to allow God to lead, you're going to have time. You're going to set aside time with him every single morning, because if you don't, how can he lead your life if you don't know what he wants and you don't know him? So you've got to set aside time to change your habits, to change your ways. And that can be difficult. It can be painful. It can take effort in the sense of, like, it's not what you normally do. It's far easier just to run ahead yourself. But trust me, in the long run, if we establish these rhythms in our lives, it deeply affects our lives, and they're never the same again. Effort is what's required. Let me tell you about a story. Talked about Moses, I want to tell you about another great guy today, King Jehoshaphat. This incredible king from the Old Testament. Again, we're not going to have lots of time to go into it, but I encourage you to go and read this yourself. Here's the goal of every believer. You don't just listen to what I say every week or somebody else. You enjoy this part, but you go and enjoy your own time. You spend time with God every single day. So in other words, there's more input going into your life from other ways in your own personal relationship with God and your friend circles and all of that. Not just this, not just listen online, not just a podcast, because this is not it. There is so much more. King Jehoshaphat, 2 Corinthians is where we're going to pick, our 2 Chronicles is where we're going to pick up the story. And it tells us a story about a king, and he's got a problem. He's coming up against an enemy that's got a vast army, and he's not sure what to do. And I want to use this story to show us that we can do it our way, or we can do it through God's strength. And if we do it through God's strength, watch what he's going to do. It's going to be incredible, and he's going to do things that we can never do. King Jehoshaphat, in 2 Chronicles 20:14, it says this, "Then the Spirit of the Lord," it comes on Jehoshaphat. So it comes in him, and it says, hey, this is what God says, and he tells the people. He said to them, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army." You see, God knows what's going on. He sees everything that we're facing, and he simply says, will you trust me and follow after me, or are you going to do it your way? "For the battle is not yours, but God's." I think we need to say that about 3 times. The battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. That fight you think you need to fight is not yours. That thing you need to sort out, it is not yours. It may belong to you, but it's not yours. It's God's. He is the one fighting in your behalf. It's what he says. It's not going to get undealt with. I'm going to sort it out, but it's mine. He comes in verse 16. "Tomorrow march down against them," against this vast army. Verse 17, "You will not have to fight this battle." Let me just give you some relief just right now. You don't have to fight this battle. God is there for you. Would you pursue him and press in and create a rhythm in your life where you know him? I tell you, it might feel like it's a hassle, but it's going to save you in the long run. It's going to protect your heart. It's going to guard your spirit. It's going to cause you to thrive even in trouble season. We're going to see that in just a moment. "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Now imagine this scene for a moment. They are going out against a vast army. This is an army that wants to kill them. And God has turned up, and he's prophesying through this guy. And they're probably thinking, this guy better be telling the truth, otherwise we're all doomed. They're probably all doomed anyway. And I think in our lives, we need to get to a place where like, I'm going to try to do this, but could I ever really do this anyway? Why don't I trust God? Why don't I pursue him? It might seem like it's a hassle, but I'm telling you, it's going to be beneficial, and we've got to get to know this. There's nothing that we can really do anyway. Moses knew this, King Jehoshaphat knew this, and he trusts God. And he says, okay, God, we're going to go out. We're going to go out, and we're going to follow after you. We're not going to do it our way, because we couldn't even if we tried. Can we not get to that place in our lives where we just realize we couldn't even have tried? I know you're skillful. I know you've got lots of abilities. I know you've got all the things that you need. But trust me, you're never going to be able to do it in the way that you hoped or dreamed. It might just work out sometimes. But what if you trusted God and know that he is with you and you can trust him because it's his fight and he's going to fight for you? So he goes, and here's what happens. Verse 24, "When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped." Now, picture this scene just for a moment. This is real. The army is real. It is vast. All they've done is trusted the word of God. They've prayed. They've trusted him. And this is what takes place. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder. And they find among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of great value. More than they could take away. It's not their fight. They thought it was. They give it to God. They trusted God. And now God's given them the spoils. This is the way it works in our lives. God is constantly spoiling us. He's constantly giving us blessings. Look at the health we have. Look at the families we have. Even in troubled times, we still have so much to thank him for because of the air that we breathe, because of the people that we are and the brains that we've got and all the things that he has given us. We've got to realize that he has blessed us in so many different ways. More than they could take away. There was so much plunder or treasure or abundance, whatever you want to put in there, that it took them 3 days to collect it. Now think about this. 3 days. They thought it was their war. And God says, it's not. I'll take care of this thing. And he did. And he answered way and above what they could ever have thought. He answered way and above what they could ever imagine. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You're going to try to do it your way. You might even accomplish to some extent or to some level. But when you follow after God, watch how he's going to answer way above what you could possibly imagine or think. Watch what he's going to do. He's going to win it for you, and you're going to reap the rewards. That's essentially what salvation is. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans that we're more than conquerors because of what God has done for us. We need to declare today that the battle is not ours, it's God's. We need to say that the battle is not ours, it is God. And there's going to be such a great abundance. There's going to be such a great abundance out of this trouble, out of this pain, out of this hassle that we're going through, that it's going to take us, that we're not going to be able to carry it all, that we're not going to be able to take it all, because it's just going to be so great. In fact, it might even take us 3 days. 3 days to take away the spoils. Moses knew that without God, I lose. Can I just say to you that wherever you're at, wherever you're watching, without God, we lose. Fundamentally, we lose. We need him for salvation, but we also need him for life. It's time to reestablish rhythms where he leads us. Let me give you Matthew 11:28, because I think a lot of us are exhausted. Here's what it says in the Message. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. There's that word again, rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay down everything. I won't lay everything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. If we don't make this change, we're going to lose. If we don't. Third point and last point. We've got to reestablish worship. This is so incredible. If there's one thing I could tell you we need to do more of, we need to do worship. We need worship more. Like, sing to God more, worship him more, spend time in his presence more. We just need to worship him. Because here's what I find. Whatever I worship, you're going to find my heart. And whenever you find my heart, that's where my treasure is going to go to. And this is why we must worship God, because essentially, you know what he wants? He wants our heart and our treasure. And it's not that he wants our money, he wants our lives, because the ultimate treasure of your life is you. So he needs your heart. And to get your heart, you've got to worship him. And this is why it's so important that in every season, when we don't know what's going on, when we're in trouble, when we're unsure, we worship him, because he wants our whole heart. Because when he gets our whole heart, he gets our whole life. Now think about this. When we're not worshiping him, we're worshiping other things. By default, we're always worshiping people. We're always worshiping something, some object, something we have to get, some person that we need. And when we worship them, before long, they get our heart, and then they get us. They get our time. They get every good thing that we have. And God says, I want your whole heart. Jehoshaphat in verse 18, in between the story that we've just read, look what happens to him in the midst of the story. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the land. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. But what I want us to notice in there is that in the midst of the battle, it's like they've got the word of God that God's going to win for us, God's going to do this thing, and before they go and reap the spoils, look what their position was, look what their heart was. We've got to worship him. We've got to get face down. We've got to get before him, because he's so holy and he's so worthy and he's so incredible. And here's what I find when we bow down, it's then we're able to worship him a lot easier, because we realize our position. And when we bow down, then we're able to give him the high places of our lives. We're able to give him the most important aspect of our lives. We give him our heart. We give him our kind of our strongholds. We give him our pride. We give him all the things that we hold high and dear, even our relationships, because we say, God, I bow before you because I realize who I am in the midst of you, and you're worthy of my worship, and you're worthy of my praise. Here's what I find a truth, or two or three truths in the middle of that. It's a lot easier to repent when you're buying. It's a lot easier to repent when you're buying low, because you recognize who you are in comparison to who he is, and his love is incredible. It's a lot easier to confess when you're used to his presence. It just is, because you're with him and your relationship is strong. And you're like, God, I did this, and God, I just want you to deliver me from this, and I need your help with this, and I want to be free from this, because this is not what you've made me to be. It's a lot easier to worship when you're buying down, because again, he's lifted high. here's what I want to challenge your heart with as we finish today. And I challenge your heart with this as we talk about rhythms and reestablishing. Can I urge you? Can I encourage you? Would you give 10 minutes to God every single day? Could you imagine if you give 10 minutes to God every single day, the impact it would have on your life? Now, I know you can have these big encounters, and maybe you've had them, and maybe you've had some great encounters over COVID, and you spent like minutes with them here, maybe an hour or two with them over there. But I want to tell you, what if you just took 10 minutes and was faithful and committed every day? What if you decided, you know what, I'm actually going to put effort in this thing? Because if I really want something, I put effort in. Can I tell you, in grace, God's already supplied that for you, and you've just got to utilize it. I mean, nothing gets done well unless you put some effort in. We've got nothing to earn because Jesus has given us everything, but we are still required to put some effort in. Amen? We've got to put this effort in to be able to accomplish and move forward and to move forward in God. You do 10 minutes every day. Guess what you end up with at the end of the year? 60 hours with God in the presence of God. If we establish that rhythm, let me tell you, by the end of that year, even if you did half the time, even if it was 5 minutes, you get 30 hours for the whole year, I guarantee that's an awful lot more than it's been happening in your life this last few years. If it's been more than that, praise the Lord. But I know for most of us, it's a real struggle to even get 10 consistent minutes every single day. I think the real battle is every single day, not just highs and lows, not just got a couple hours in with Jesus there and then 2 weeks later I got a bit more in. I think it's 10 minutes every day or whatever it is in your life, but just that consistent, just rhythm, where I spend it with Him and I watch what He does. Don't get stuck waiting for a moment. Seek God every day. I want to finish with Exodus 33:16 again, the latter part of the verse. What else will distinguish me, us, your people, from all the other people on the face of the earth if your presence doesn't go with us? I want to encourage you, where is God's presence in your life? Where's the rhythms? Where's the routines? If it's time to reestablish, do it. If you've never had it, get it. If you need to repent to Him and ask for forgiveness for the first time and ask Jesus into your heart, then do it. If you need Him back in your life, do it. If you're walking with God and you know there's just some changes, then come on, pour your life out afresh before Him and watch how He transforms and changes you. 10 minutes, what a challenge, but I know you can do it. End of the year, it's 60 hours with God. The impact that will have on your walk in life will be incredible. Guys, we're going to pray today. I thank you so much for tuning in and being with us. I want to pray for you if you don't know Jesus. I want to pray if you're far from Him and you want did, and I want to pray for you if you're a Christian to go deeper into the things of God. So let's pray today. God, I thank you for everybody that's been tuning in, Lord. And I just really pray, Lord, for a refreshing and an encouragement in our hearts, Lord. I pray, Lord, if we don't know you, I pray right now, Lord, that we would just get an awareness that I need you, God. And in these moments, Lord, we come to you and we say, you know what? Actually, my sin is too great. I need Jesus to take that away. And we say yes to you and you come and you transform our lives. Lord, I pray for anybody right now that needs that they would take a bold step, that they would repent and say, Jesus, I need you. And their lives would be forever changed. So I just pray that right now, come boldly and say yes to Him. Lord, I pray for anybody that's been far from you, once knew you, but have walked a different direction, went this way or that way. I pray right now, Lord, just for a conviction to come back, Lord. I pray, Lord, for repentance to say, you know what, I don't want that anymore. I want to come back to God. I want to turn my life around. I want to come back. I want to be focused on Jesus. I pray for confidence and boldness and for that to happen right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for the rest of us, Lord, that are saved. Lord, I pray for an upgrade in what we're doing, Lord. I pray for a greater intensity, Lord. I pray for a greater conviction, Lord. If we need to repent, let's do that because God wants us to come deeper and to access greater realms of His glory. I pray today, Lord, that we would know your goodness, Lord. I pray that we would know your love. And I pray that challenge of 10 minutes that leads to 60 hours. Lord, will we take up that challenge and do it faithfully every single day? And if we miss one day, forget it and go the next. We won't just quit. We will keep going. Lord, give us the tenacity, give us the effort, and allow us to flow through your grace. Lord, if we need forgiveness and healing and transformation, let us receive it today. And if we're low in hope, give us that hope. Lord, help us to establish these significant rhythms that will just significantly change our lives. Jesus, we give you praise. We love you. In your precious name, amen.